Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. Guys, thanks for listening to this podcast. I sure appreciate you, and thank you for supporting it with your comments, with sharing it with other leaders, and I really appreciate you. Decided to do some new things with the podcast, and so that's why you're hearing this new introduction rather than the music playing. We decided to start with some intros and some sharing of some sponsors of the podcast. In fact, if you are a curriculum provider, resource provider, ministry leader that would like to sponsor the KMC podcast for some episodes, contact me at wbman99@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that potential. But our first sponsor for this edition of the KMC podcast is Custom Business Growth Solutions. And they're a business that helps ministry leaders and businesses to make a better impact on the digital area. And so if you're someone that this would appeal to, I would highly recommend you check them out. They've been very helpful for me and are continuing to work with me on my new website for KMC Coach. And you'll be seeing some changes there. If you go over to kmccoach.net, there's a work in progress. But Custom Business Growth Solutions is helping me with that process. So thank you for their support. I really appreciate them and their investment in the KMC. Also, our other sponsor for this edition episode is Leading Volunteers. And my good buddy, Josh Denhart, has worked on this project for a long time, and it is an amazing course, master's level course, where you can learn to train and retain your volunteers and prevent burnout of you and the leaders that you lead. So I highly recommend you check it out. We'll have a link on our show notes page on the Podbean site where we host. So if you go to podbean.com and search Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, you'll find our page there where you can subscribe to the podcast, and you'll find the links where you can support businesses and resources like Josh's. And I would highly recommend you check out that course as well. Now, for this edition of the KMC, I had the honor and privilege to talk to a good friend of mine, Dale Hudson, about his book called Leading Well. One of the things that is super important, and I learned this a little later than I should have, is how important it is to lead well. Lead yourself and lead others. One of the problems, oftentimes, one of the reasons why we don't always get all the volunteers we want is because of how we're leading. And if we're not leading well, then it's going to be harder to attract members to a team. So I want to encourage you to check out Dale's book and sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, and enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed talking with Dale and having him share from his heart about his book, Leading Well. And so check it out. Again, there'll be a link for that book on the podcast show notes. And so sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the KMC. My guest today has a great reputation in the kid ministry world for leading well. And he's been building teams and encouraging leaders. I am so thankful for his leadership. And I've really enjoyed hearing him at conferences, reading his books. I am so glad that he's able to join me today and help me and help you learn more about leading well in ministry. And so, Dale Hudson, welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.
Thanks, Tom. I'm excited about being here.
Hey, I am so glad that you're here and appreciate you making time to do this with me. And Dale, I'd love for you to introduce yourself in case somebody out there doesn't know who you are or hasn't come across your books. Give us a little background on you and your ministry.
Yeah, you bet. I guess if you go back, it all started when I was in high school. I didn't care anything about serving. All I cared about was, you know, the basketball girls and my car. And then my youth pastor came and said, "Hey, Dale, would you, you know, volunteer in kids ministry?" And at first I was like, "Nah, I don't think so." But he wouldn't give up. He kept asking me. So finally I went and helped out a couple times in the children's ministry. Man, that was it. God just said, "Here you go. This is you. This is what you're called to do." So a lot of people start out saying they have a goal to be a senior pastor one day and maybe see children's or youth as a stepping stone. It wasn't that way for me. I'd felt all along that God, you know, wanted me to serve in kids ministry. So I've been doing that for 30 years. 28 of those years were in local churches. So we've served as a children's pastor in churches in Las Vegas, West Palm Beach, several different areas. And so a couple years ago, God said, I want you to invest in the Big C Church. And I had been doing that some, but when you're at a church, you obviously can't be gone every weekend. So felt like it was the right time. And so we stepped in 2 years ago to helping churches to grow leaders, grow teams, grow ministries. And so we're excited about doing that.
You wrote this book about leading well in ministry. And I love asking the why question a lot. Why a book on leading well? Why did you feel so impressed that that's where you wanted to focus some attention?
Well, we've all heard this in other different parts of ministry, but I think the thing that caused me to do this was that simple quote we've all heard, everything rises and falls on leadership. And that is just as true in the kids ministry world as it is in any other ministry in the church. I think that the kids ministry is one of the most difficult ministries to lead besides a senior pastor. Think about it. When you lead in kids ministry, you have contact with all the ages of the church, preschoolers, babies, elementary. You have students that work in your ministry. You have single adults that work in your kids ministry, adults, parents. So really, I think it's one of the most challenging but rewarding areas to work in the church besides a senior pastor. And so everything rises and falls on leadership, man. If that's true, you got to be ready to lead.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. And so in your book, you cover a lot of different topics. And I mean, this really is, I told you this off air, but this really is a great primer, especially if you're starting out in ministry, but even if you've been in ministry for a long time, you cover some fantastic topics. Tell us a little bit about what some of the topics are that you cover in this book.
Well, of course, we start off with the most important area of leadership is leading yourself. If you don't lead yourself well, you're not going to last in kids ministry. I heard somebody say several years ago that greatness in ministry is not measured in years, but in decades. I think it's so, so true. So how do you go the distance? How do you lead for decades and go the distance? It'd be like Paul and say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. So I start off talking about leading yourself well and things I've learned by doing things wrong. mistakes I've made, mistakes other people have made in leading themselves well. But that's where I think the starting point is leading yourself well. Is that verse that talks about take care of yourself. And if you do that, you'll save both yourself and the people that listen to you. And so you got to take care of yourself before you take care of other people. That's where it starts. We go down, we talk about, you know, one of the interesting things we talk about is how do you lead up well? Some people don't think about you're to lead, you know, the people in your ministry, but also how do you lead up to who, to the person you report to, whether it's the pastor or the executive pastor. So we talk about how to, you know, connect and lead well with the person that you report to. Of course, there's parents in there. How do you lead parents well? That's more of a family ministry aspect. How do you really come alongside parents and lead them well? Multi-site, we've got a whole chapter about multi-site because so many, I think it's eight. Basically, every large community in our country now has a multi-site church in it, the recent studies show. So that can be one of the most challenging things you'll do as a kids minister is to, you know, lead a multi-site ministry. So we talk about that. And then we talk about at the end, we talk about how do you lead well for the future? You know, what trends and culture shifts do we see coming? How do you lead well through those things? So there's 10 chapters in all and all talking about how to lead in those different areas of ministry.
Fabulous. And so when you think about leading yourself well, can you share some advice to leaders as you were writing this chapter? What are some of those things that the leader should be thinking about, and what would you give as advice?
Yeah, you know, I always thought that the greatest the way you're successful in ministry is to stay in ministry. One of the best ways to be successful is just simply to stay in ministry, to not bomb out, not to wipe out, and have to step away from ministry. So this chapter really is really personal to me. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes and didn't lead myself well. The first 18 years of my ministry, I was not in a healthy place. I had to save the world. You know, I forgot that was Jesus' job, not my job. And I had to save the world. And so I worked like crazy. I worked too much. I was in Las Vegas. The church had grown so fast and the offerings had not kept up because we were reaching people totally away from God. We were trying to get them to stop stripping, much less tithe, which is true. So it took a while. So we were not able to hire any more staff to keep up with the growth. And so there were two of us, you know, for thousands of kids. And so, but I was determined, man, I was going to do it because I loved it. I loved reaching lost people and reaching lost families and kids. And so, I just stepped up and worked like crazy. I would work 70, 80 hours a week. I didn't take my day off on Friday because my justification was my kids are in school. My wife is at work. I'll just go ahead and work. And so work. And for 3 years, I didn't take a vacation. I had three years of unused vacation time piled up there. But I'll tell you what happened is after all those years of doing that to myself, I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought I was having a heart attack. My whole body was aching. I had chest pains like crazy. And they rushed me to the ER and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. My EKG was fine. They started searching me for different diseases, Lyme's disease or what's wrong with me. I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I got worse and worse. I started spiraling downhill. I got to where I couldn't sleep at night. I actually went, Tom, a whole week without sleeping. Can you imagine? I went seven days with no sleep. I would lay there at night and my adrenaline, you know, you start feeling sleepy. I just didn't feel sleepy. My adrenaline was just kicked in and just couldn't. So finally, after running all those tests, I got to a doctor that said, I think I know what's wrong with you. He said, you have clinical depression. I was like, what is that? Now, does that mean I'm sad? Does that mean I'm down? What does that mean? I've heard of it. He said, Dale, there's chemicals in your body that when you go through stress, it depletes some of the chemicals in your mind. If it gets all the way depleted, your body will lock up and basically say, we're not doing this anymore. That's what clinical depression, he explained to me, wasn't. That's what had happened. I had burned the midnight oil, burned. So finally I burned out. And so it took about I thought I was done with ministry. I got to the point I could barely even walk. It took about a year to get back to full strength. But I look back on that and go, man, that was stupid. I should have paced myself. Should have spent more time with my kids. I went to all my kids' ball games, but there were a lot of times at supper dinner that I was not there. Then I should have been there. And so thankfully, both my boys love Jesus and are in church and serving him. But don't make that mistake, too, of putting the ministry before your family and your own personal health. I found out basically that you can burn out doing what you love.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? And I don't think a lot of leaders get in. I mean, nobody anticipates that they're going to go that way. I mean, I certainly didn't, but my story lines up with yours. Wow. And I've shared that before on this podcast and probably without being diagnosed. I mean, when you said that, I'm like, wow, okay, that was me. Because I had those same things. There were times where literally I'd wake up in the middle of the night feeling like, yeah, I was going to have a heart attack. I was sweating, just fear, overwhelming oppression. And I would literally just go into my basement bathroom and just sit on the floor and just bawl and just beg God to get rid of this, you know? And it was just like, what's going on with me? And yeah, so I understand, man. And I never anticipated when I got into ministry that I would ever do that or allow myself to do that, but it happens.
It can get so bad to the point where you commit suicide. I mean, we know the pastor just a few weeks ago, a young guy, right? That he just didn't get the help he needed or something, and it just took him away. But you don't have to end up there if you're preventative, right? It takes steps to keep you from going that direction. So anyways, that is the biggest thing that I would learn is to pace yourself. You're in a marathon, not a sprint. You got to find a pace that you can maintain long term. I always, when I talk to the people that I'm mentoring or whatever in kids ministry, I always say, can you sustain the pace you're at right now for the next 5 years? And sadly, many of them say, no, I don't think I can. And I say, well, then we need to make some changes if you're going to go the distance.
When you're giving advice like that, because you have a coaching program too, and folks, if you haven't seen it, you ought to go check it out. But when you encounter somebody that says, you know, yeah, I don't necessarily know I could do that. Give them one thing. It's a little off script, sorry, but one of those things. Tell them what's one thing that somebody could do to say, okay, I need to slow down a little bit.
I think the first question I always ask is, are you taking your day off? And a lot of times I'll hear, well, sometimes I try to. There, and then the other big one's about getting into the adult service, right? Sometimes I'll say, I want to, but I just can't for this reason or another. But those are the two big ones I always ask. Are you taking your day off? Are you using your vacation time? Are you getting in service? Because those are three signs of how things are going behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay. So another part that you discuss in your book is that leading teams. And you know, sometimes that can be a real challenge. What have you learned over the years? You know, if you're going to lead yourself well, you need to lead your team well. So how do you keep teams healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing for me is that I try not to lead with a title, but with a through relationship. You know, people aren't going to follow a title. They follow someone they know cares about them. And so just making sure that your people that you serve know that you love them and you care about them and that you're going to be there for them will help a whole lot. When I left my last church 2 years ago, one of our campus children's directors got up and, you know, it's interesting, the thing that she had, I've been there almost 9 years. What she remembered the most was, she said, you know, when my son was in the hospital, you came and you prayed over my son before his surgery. And that was what stood out to her after 8 years. It wasn't the devotions we brought. It wasn't the programs that we did. It wasn't all that stuff to her. It was somebody really cared about my family. And so I try to make sure that I, you know, take care of the family or know about the families and get involved in the families and stuff. And then just stressing unity. I mean, you got to have unity on a team if things are going to last. So that's so important. You know, you got to fight for unity. It doesn't happen by accident. I think our normal pull is to pull away from unity and do our own thing and not want to, you know, cooperate with other people. But unity is so, so important. So I always told my team, listen, if you have a problem with something I do, I'm going to make some stupid mistakes. If you have a problem with something I do, don't go sideways and start talking to another campus director or go down and start talking to someone else. Just come to me. We'll close the door. You can yell at me. You can scream at me. We'll work it out. But just come to me. Direct communication. I think that's the, if you'll get your team committed to that, they'll avoid a lot of the backstabbing, a lot of the stuff that's going on, but nobody wants to address the elephant in the room. Well, just have that policy to where if you have a problem, hey, that's fine. Just come to me. Let's talk about it and work it out for that. So just unity, doing life together. You have lots of different personalities, right, that you're trying to blend together and just kind of knowing how people are wired and stuff. But again, it's leadership. That's why it's so important to know how to lead people well.
And so, you know, and like I said, you know, obviously leading teams can be messy, can be challenging. What are some of the common mistakes that you see leaders making when they're leading teams?
Well, the first one I just mentioned, I think leading by title rather than relationship. Probably, you know, I was thinking back over the people I've reported to. I had a gentleman that I reported to back at a church, and I don't think after several months and even maybe a year, he even knew the names of my kids. We'd go in, and it was just straight to business. There was never, how are you doing? Great job. Yeah, and so I've always tried to lead through encouragement, but if you don't, the opposite can happen. That can really sour people about your leadership. And so that's one of the things I always try to focus on. Mistakes, at least leading by position rather than title. Thinking you know all the answers. You know, I always tried to remember that the smartest person in the room is the room. Micromanaging is obviously is a big one. Make the mistake of micromanaging. And I think just not leading by example. You got to walk the talk. You got to lead by example. So those are the big ones I would say is unity and doing life together and being there for each other when they go through hard times. So those are the big ones I would say.
Those are so good. Great advice there for sure, for sure. And, you know, as you've built teams over the years, I'm just curious, what are some of the things that worked well for you? When it comes to, you know, so many leaders are struggling with recruitment these days and finding and recruiting the right kind of people or even just finding people. And so oftentimes they develop this, you know, okay, I'm just going to get bodies in place mentality. I'm going to live Sunday to Sunday. And so what have you learned about building teams and recruitment that's worked for you?
Well, you know, there's obviously, I believe the greatest strength is the personal ask. You know, people individually if they would like to serve and join your team, and getting outside of the kids ministry area and getting out there where you can meet some people that you could be potential servants in kids ministry. One of the churches I was at, they had a after the service, they had a guest room for guests. They could come there, meet the pastors. We had a few snacks and stuff there for them. But well, guess where I always tried to hang out after the service? I made sure that even though I wanted to be over in the kids area, I was there because that's where the what I would call hot prospects are at. So I was just an example. I was in one of those there, and I looked over and saw this lady that was smiling, had a huge smile, and very personable seemed like. So I went over and sat down beside her and started talking to her. She had just moved there from Hawaii. I didn't know anybody actually left Hawaii, but she just moved from Hawaii there to the West Palm Beach area. And at the end of our time there, I said, hey, I'd love to show you our kids area. And so we walked her down and showed her our kids areas. Long story short, she started volunteering. She came on staff. Now she leads the largest campus, you know, in that multi-site church. But I met her at a guest reception. And so just the personal ask, getting out there where the people are and inviting them to come and join you on the mission. You know, you hire it with vision, not with desperation. Nobody wants to get on the Titanic. Vision, you know, with vision, here's what's happening. Here's how you can make an impact with your life. And so that's how we did that. And as far as developing staff members, we tried to hire from within. We had the last church I was at, we had a staff team of, I think there was like 72 of us total. All but five of those people came from inside the church. There was five of us that we had been brought in from outside the church, but the vast majority were from inside the church. And what we did is we just tried to pour into people. They would start out as a volunteer, and then maybe a part-time staff member, and then a full-time staff member. And so we always try to hire from within and build up leaders because they have your DNA, right? They think like you do. They have the same ministry process as you do. And so I think just the personal ask is the biggest way, and just pouring into people is the way you develop people.
You know, for leaders that struggle with this, you know, one thing that you said that was I thought was really powerful in the book, and I'd love for you to unpack this a little bit, is because I think leaders need to hear this or even be reminded of this. You said love equally and invest selectively. What do you mean by that?
So, you know, you're as a leader, you love all of your volunteers, you love all of your staff equally, you should. But when it comes to the two or three people you're going to really pour yourself into, you got to be very selective in that. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples. He had three that were kind of his inner circle. And so who is your inner circle? Who are two or three people that you're really pouring yourself into? They need to be people that you really see some potential in, somebody that you really know can make a difference, somebody that you feel God has led you to help raise that person up. So, yeah, you love all of your volunteers. You love all your staff the same. But when it comes to your personal time to develop in someone, you got to be very selective in who you pick. Somebody that you see potential in, someone you see that could possibly, you know, be a full-time staff member one day. And so that's what we mean by that, is to be very selective in the two or three, four or five. You know, you can only develop so many people at a time. But pouring into just those few people selectively.
You know, there's a lot of leaders who are serving in small churches and. I know they really struggle with finding people or finding people that they can raise up for to be leaders of leaders. What were some of the things that you did to help people raise that level of leadership? What did you learn about stuff like that? And what advice could you give a smaller church leader that's going, hey, my pool of volunteers is small and I'm scared, you know, to pull somebody up to the next level, so I'm just going to keep leading by myself, which we know is not healthy. So how do you help someone move them up to that next level, especially when their pool of volunteers is smaller?
Well, I think, again, you have to pick if it's just one person. Maybe it's just the one person that you pour yourself into. Do you mean like the other people getting jealous or not quite understanding why you're spending more time with that person? Or give me a little bit clarity on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, if you're in a smaller church as a leader and you're trying to build your teams up and so you're trying to take somebody who's been faithful with a little bit and you want to raise them up to be more like a leader of a smaller group of leaders, how would you raise them up to that next level? You know, because like you hired from within. So what were you looking for when you hired somebody like that? Because obviously you saw something in them that said, hey, this person could be a next level leader. So how did you develop that? Because I think a lot of, especially medium to small church leaders, struggle with that and how to do it, how to find that person.
Well, I think it's basically the same principle. It's just a smaller percentage maybe that you have to go after. You know, you look for people that I look for passion, teach somebody that's teachable. If you're not teachable, you're not going to be usable. Someone that has initiative, you know, I always think that initiative is not given, it's taken. You know, take initiative. I remember one staff retreat that we were doing. We would take our kids' staff away and do a staff retreat twice a year, one in the summertime and then one in the beginning of a new year. But one of the things I was trying to teach them, one session was about initiative. And so I arranged for someone to turn the lights off right in the middle of that talk. And so the lights went off and I just stopped on the stage and just sat there. I waited about 30 seconds and all of a sudden a girl that I saw a lot of potential in already got up, walked back and turned the lights back on. I emphasized again, initiative is not given, it's taken. You have to take initiative. So you're looking for somebody that will take initiative, somebody that will get up out of the seat and know, hey, I'm going to go turn the lights back on. That's initiative. And just someone that has a passion for people, someone that's loyal. That's doing right. They got to be loyal, not just to you, but to the mission of the ministry. So I'd say those are the two or three bigger ones. And again, it's going to be on a smaller scale, but I think the principles still work no matter what size church you're in. You're looking for that.
Good, good. All right. Now, one of our final questions here is the idea of if you were starting all over in kid ministry, what would be some of your top priorities if you were starting all over in kid min? As a kids pastor, what would you do walking into a church? You're brand new. What would be some of your top priorities nowadays?
I mean, I think starting back then, I would have spent more time learning to lead adults. Because when I first started out, I thought it was all about the kids, and it is about the kids. But I didn't reproduce myself like I should have, and I ended up working a lot of the times when I shouldn't have. I should have had somebody else that I had delegated that to. So I would say learn how to lead adults well. Read books about leadership, because again, everything rises and falls on leadership. You got to learn to lead adults well, volunteers well. Delegation is another big one. I mean, I can look back when I first started spending all night working on a project, literally spend all night up at the church working on a project when I could have delegated it to a couple more people and would not have had to stay up there all night long. And again, leadership, leading adults, leading volunteers, and then delegating is really, really important. And obviously taking care of yourself. I didn't learn that lesson until I talked about the hard way. I learned that one. So I think those would be the big ones.
I got to tell y'all, if you're looking for a good book to take into the holiday season and kick off 2020 in a good way, I would highly recommend you pick up Lead Well in Children's Ministry. Dale, if people want to get a hold of the book, where can they get it?
They can go to my website, buildingkidmen.com. I have two names, buildingchildrensministry.com or Building Kidmen will get you there as well, buildingkidmen.com. Or it's on Amazon as well if you want to get it in paperback and ebook. So those are two places you can get it.
Excellent, excellent. And if somebody has any questions or if they want to follow you on social media, how can they connect with you? Are you on any of those platforms, obviously?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, those things. Just shoot me an email, dale@buildingchildrensministry.com. Be glad to help you any way I can.
Awesome.
I'd like to say, too, thank you, Tom, for this opportunity. Thank you for all you're doing for kids ministry. You're a big impact person. And thanks for the opportunity just to partner with you today. And I pray God's blessings upon you and your ministry.
Oh, thanks, Dale. And I look forward to doing more together. And I just appreciate your wisdom and encouragement. I thank you for what you're doing and pouring into other leaders through your coaching program, through these books. Hey, tell them about the other book, too, in case they haven't seen the Disney book, If Disney Ran Your Kids Ministry, right?
Yeah, it was. That's been out for a couple of years now. I wrote it with Justin Smith, who's a good friend of mine, and then Bruce Berry is the owner of Wacky World Studios. His father actually worked with Walt Disney way back in the day. It was a sketch artist for some of Walt's first cartoons. So he's got a rich history with Disney there. But yeah, you know, I don't agree with everything Disney does. They don't claim to be a Christian company. I do think Walt would be upset about some of the things that they're standing with and so forth. But They're not a Christian company, but there's so much we can learn from them, right? Yes. I mean, this year there'll be 73 million people walking to Disney Park, and the vast, vast majority of those people will be kids and parents together. And so we begin to look and say, what can we learn from Disney? My wife would get mad sometimes when we were at Disney because I'm like looking off and something, how to do that? What's the that? Just stop and enjoy being here.
Yeah.
So not till I get the book finished, I can't. So we just talk about 10 areas that if Disney ran your kids' ministry, how it would help, like casting vision like Walt Disney did. He was a great vision caster. I get tickled too because and I've said the same thing. If I had Disney's money, if I had their budget, I could do all that stuff too. Well, the truth is Walt started with nothing.
Right.
If you're reading the book, there was actually a time of period where he ate dog food for 2 weeks just to survive. Think about that.
Yeah.
Any of us are having to eat dog food just to survive. But it was his vision, and his passion for families that allowed that budget to be, become reality. So
yeah,
you think you'd enjoy a lot of good Disney trivia and stuff in there. And I'm sure you may have heard about this, but one thing that they have to watch is people will try to sneak the ashes of their dead loved ones into the Haunted Mansion ride, and they'll actually try to dump it out in the mansion, like, in there inside the mansion. And so if you go into the Haunted Mansion, you see dust. It may not all just be regular dust.
Oh, okay.
I was at a conference and this lady came up after and says, I did that too. My aunt in there, that's what she wanted. And so I did it. Of course they have to sneak it in there.
Yeah. Oh, no.
A lot of interesting things in there about Disney, things you wouldn't know about the scenes.
Oh yeah. Oh wow. But yeah, I'm like you. When the few times that I've gone, I get in there and I'm studying, how do they handle crowds? There's so much we can learn from customer service and first impressions to creating environments to creating, varieties of experiences that kids and parents connect with together. And both are laughing and screaming and I think it's absolutely, yeah, you're right. I don't agree with everything they do either, but there is so much we can learn from them and take and redeem. So yeah. So guys, if you want to pick up that book, I would highly recommend it. I've got that one too, and have really enjoyed thinking through that one. And I'm doing that with some of my coaching students as well, talking with them about that book. And it's been a fantastic resource. So Dale, thanks for being on with me. I hope that this will be the beginning of a few more episodes. We'll get you back on and talk more kid ministry stuff, because I would love to do that with you. So we'll have to make sure we set that up again. So thanks for being on, man.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this edition of the KMC. We're so glad that you've taken time out of your day. We hope that it's been a blessing to you. And we look forward to you joining us again real soon for another edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBunk. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.